countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 44. I am your host, TFG and Mike, and this is a special episode. Steve Megatron is actually working as we're recording this, but joining me in this episode is the legendary Transformers fan, the goddamn Protoman. Hello, sir.
How you doing? Glad to be good. On the show.
This is the first time we've had you on this show. You're usually a regular on ToyCast, although you've been absent as of late for the last few episodes. What's been going on with you, buddy?
Oh, well, I recently bought a house. That's a big, big house. So that's a lot of running back and forth, paperwork to the bank here, notary. You know, it was a lot more difficult than I thought it was. You know, I used to think, oh, you know, you go to a couple open houses, you decide what you like, and then you go, okay, I want that one. You buy it, you bring it to the register, you know? No, it's not like that at all.
it's paperwork, negotiations, escrow,
oh, my goodness.
Closing, yeah.
It's a lot. So I've been doing a lot of that. And then when the house was confirmed it's mine, next thing I know, oh, my God, now I got 4,000 Transformers I got to pack up. And I'm going to tell you something. G1 toys? Like, I'm going to give this advice to anyone moving who owns a lot of, like, vintage G1 toys. It's like road rage trying to package these together without fear of them breaking. It's like Kleenex tied together with bricks, you know? You know, I can't even describe. I'm putting away like Blue Streak with all his little fragile chrome weapons, and I'm just like, oh man, this is gonna take forever. Where I love it, anything made after the year 2000, like you just throw it in one bin altogether, and you don't give a shit. You know, like it's yeah. Like, oh, who cares about Armada? Just throw it in there, let it all smash together. But it's the same thing, like Beast Wars Grimlock, which has all that gold plastic on him.
Yeah,
I'm like scared to move him. You know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm saying to myself, wow, am I going to, like, move, and then I'm going to have to take that figure with me in the car and hold it the entire trip, you know, because he's that fragile, you know, because, like, a good gust of wind and his, like, joints will crack because of the gold. Anyways, I've been, like, super busy with the moving thing. TFCon is, like, edging closer, so I've been so busy with panel planning and scheduling and all kinds of stuff. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, and not to mention May coming up is the huge convention scene here in Montreal, and then June with BotCon and the Comic-Con, and then July with TFCon. It's going to be and then me moving in June, I'm going to be so busy. It's not even funny.
Have you guys announced anybody that's going to be at TFCon yet?
Going to be announcing them extremely soon. I just actually checked with my guys. There's no OKs yet to say anything.
Don't!
Yeah, I know. Nothing yet, but it is some awesome stuff. We do have an exclusive 100% coming, and it's something that no one has ever seen before. It's a brand new thing. I can't say much more about it, but
I just have one question, though. Is this going to be an actual convention exclusive, or is this going to be a later on different, chromier version mass market?
Well, I'll tell you this. We're not working with Fans Project. That was Fans Project pretty much pulled the rug under us, because when they made that exclusive originally, our powered commander, they, you know, when we, and they were like, okay, we'll make 500, you know, pieces of these. And they thought, okay, 500's enough. Who's going to want, you know, an Ultra Magnus colored in Daikon colors? That's what they thought. And us, we were, in all honesty, even us, we were like, oh, we just hope that we sell all 500 and make our money back, you know what I mean? And, you know, lo and behold, it sold out, like, Saturday morning, you know, and we were all shocked. And on top of us being shocked, you know, Fans Project, who was there at the convention with their own, like, table, they were shocked. They were like, wow, like, people really wanted this. So what do you think happened when they got back to China? They were like, well, there's money to be made here.
Yeah.
You know? And that wasn't really cool of them, you know, but we went with different guys. I can't say yet who, because that might help people speculate what it is.
Okay.
But we went with a really cool crew of people. We already have the product in hand. It's super high quality. It's nothing. It's not a repaint of an existing mold. It's something 100% brand new. It's transformable, and you guys will love it. I promise you that. That's awesome. All I'm going to say.
Okay, so we here at ATTF, we do episodes every 2 weeks, maybe once a month. It just depends on when we can do them. So some of our news might be a little bit old and people might already know about it. We're just kind of going to comment on several things. We're not going to really, like, report the entire news stories, except when we get up to some of the newer stuff. One of the things I wanted to comment on was the rumor of Transformers 3 Bumblebee to be a convertible. Apparently, on April 14th, teaser pictures of the new Camaro convertible due to release in the year 2011 had come out. What do you think of Bumblebee being a convertible?
In all honesty, I could almost 200% see that happening. And you want to know why?
Yes, tell us why.
It's completely obvious. With the first movie, they sold us the 2009 Camaro toys like crazy. With the second movie, they were like, well, how are we going to sell, you know, the fans this toy again? So they modified the front a bit, you know, they gave it that new look. And then on top of it, because they gave the excuse, well, when we made the first toys, we weren't sure how the animation design would look in the final design. So now all the later toys, you know, like, you look at the first deluxe Camaro Bumblebee, and you look at that head design. And then you look at now, like, how the head design looks for all the deluxes afterwards. You know, they give you a better figure. Now that they've perfected Bumblebee, pretty much, you know, like, every incarnation of Bumblebee up to this point, the ones coming out, the Battle Blade, the Cyber Ops, Human Alliance, they're all, like, perfect renditions of this character. How could they possibly sell us the toy again 50 times for Transformers 3? Well, change the mold. So take off the roof, call it a Camaro, maybe give him a different splash of yellow, and then you got a whole bunch of legends, fast action battlers, and all kinds of stuff you could sell us all over again. And that's the truth of it. That's why I see it happening, because by doing that small little change to the alt mode, you're able to then sell a whole bunch of the same toys all over again.
I would love to see a Camaro convertible as Bumblebee in the third film. You know, I've been very hesitant to even talk about a lot of the fact that the principal photography and all this other stuff, because, you know, last year Revenge of the Fallen was so oversaturated with news, and that's what I understand. That's the way it gets with movies and stuff. So I've been really hesitant to bring up a lot of the movie news for the third movie until we actually get, like, a trailer. Or something, like, something
news that's actually worth discussing.
Yeah, but
like,
I thought
a lot of it is like, it's filming in Chicago starts today.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. What if the filming in Chicago is like a bathroom scene?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not really going to change my life, you know. And it's the same thing when they said the parents are coming back. I was like, hey, that's great, but is it really going to make a difference if they didn't? You know, unless you really like the mom, you know, like it's. It's, you know, the news that really matters is the stuff that's going to make us really discuss it. I'm pretty sure no one was, like, standing around the water cooler going, hey, did you hear Sam's mom, Julie White, is coming back for the next movie? Everyone's like, yeah, man, dude, I'm so psyched, you know?
Let's give her some more weed!
You know, like, you know, that's why, like, it's not something that you get excited about. You know? It's just like, hey, that's great, they were funny, but, you know, where's the news that we're salivating for?
You know?
And something like this, with the Camaro, not only does it tell us what Bumblebee might look like in the next movie, but it gives us an idea of what the 50,000 toys are going to be from Mr. Yellow Bumblebee, because Lord knows Revenge of the Fallen only gave us 100 of them.
Yes. Up next, we have the official robot mode of BotCon Spark, and you had told me off-air that the entire set has been announced.
Yeah, BotCon 2010 recently showed a brochure to pretty much hype the convention, saying, like, what's going to be happening this year, like, because we're going to have a Hall of Fame dinner and everything. I'm going to be there, by the way, any listeners, if they want to meet the Proto Man in person. And what they announced the figures that are in the actual box set. We don't know the four Sylvanir figures. We don't know the free figure, and we don't know the custom class figure. But we do know now what's in the set. And what is in the set is what we've seen thus far, Spark, a.k.a. Pyro, the UK nod to the UK toy that suffered from horrible gold plastic syndrome back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They show G2 Breakdown, which is a nod to the 1994 BotCon exclusive, which was the G2 repaint of Breakdown, the Stunticon. So they're using the Sunstreaker / Sideswipe mold for that character. And they've shown pictures of him already online. And they show that he's one of the two figures that are going to have a remolded head. So instead of him having the Sideswipe or Sunstreaker head, he's going to have the traditional peg head that's from the Scramble City Combiners, which is really cool that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So he has, like, Breakdown's head pretty much. They also announced the other figures, although we haven't seen photos yet, so a lot of people are speculating what the toys that are going to be used. The first one that they announced was Clench. For those who don't know who Clench is, he was also a UK toy. He was like the Decepticon leader of that like 1 year of toys, and he was like green and like neon green, dark green, with a little accents of pink here and there. And everyone's like, oh, he's going to be either on, because he was a truck originally. He was like a truck with like a station on the back. And people are like, oh, well, maybe he'll be Onslaught, like the Universe 2.0 Onslaught, because, you know, that figure size will kind of work with it in that style of shape. And then some people are like, well, maybe they'll use molds that haven't been used yet. And since he's a truck, maybe they'll use Octane. And a lot of people didn't like that Octane mold, so they don't really agree with that idea. I could kind of see it being used because it also lead into my explanation for another figure after. The other one that they mentioned was Skybite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Skybite, he's not a G2 character, which kind of upsets with the theme. But Skybite was from Robots in Disguise, and that whole storyline was they were dimensional jumpers anyways, the villains, the Predacons. So chances are he's going to probably end up in the storyline. Skybite, everyone and their grandmother is assuming it's going to be the Sharkticon mold, which was used from Energon, mm-hmm. which makes complete sense because, as I was saying with Octane, the Sharkticon mold is an amazing mold, and it's never been repainted, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah. And it's like it's about time it's been used, and no better time than now. So it's kind of the same thing with the Octane mold, where it's like, you know, what is Hasbro going to do with this mold? I mean, you look at a mold of a toy, and you could kind of see, oh, I could see a repaint of this character or that character. Oh, paint it red, call it Swerve, you know? But when it comes to Triple Changers, it's really difficult to say what you could do for a repaint for them, you know?
Yeah.
And Octane is one of those cases where it's like, well, after you do the Octane toy, what else could you repaint him as and make a character out of? So, you know, people are like, okay, maybe they'll do that. Maybe the fiction that'll be included with the box set will explain, you know, who he'll how he got that mode or something. It's all really like shaky right now.
Yeah.
And the last one that they announced, I'm trying to remember what it was, Clinch, Breakdown. What was the last one? I'm trying to remember offhand. Probably should open a window.
I'm opening the brochure now. If it loads.
Sorry, listeners. Just give me one sec.
Yeah.
I'll just go to... I remember I was talking about it before. How could I completely forget this? Jesus. Let me just scroll down. It's right here.
Streetwise,
that's right. And Streetwise, everyone's doing the obvious assumption that it's going to be Prowl, Universe 2.0 Prowl. And it's G2 Streetwise, which is just like G2 Breakdown. It was an unreleased toy in an unreleased color scheme of the G1 toy. Mm-hmm. So, and G2 Streetwise, all he was like a black repaint of the original G1 Streetwise with red and blue sirens. And that's pretty much it. Everyone who's going to probably see this toy, if they use Prowl, is going to make like the whole barricade like nods. But I think it really looks like if they do that, he's going to look like Stakeout, which was a Micromaster. That was also a police car known as Holly in Transformers Victory. So that'll be cool. That's if they use Prowl. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. They're probably going to use Prowl, even though they've used that mold already 3 times. But and speculation for what the extra figures are going to be, you know, usually when they do the free figure is a mold that's related with the other molds in the box set. So if it's G2, I don't know, Prowl as Rapido, Prowl as one of the, you know, Windbreaker, Prowl as one of the cars, maybe one of the GoBots, and by GoBots, I mean the G2 GoBots. Who knows?
Yeah.
Custom class, it's all up in the air right now. Who knows what's going to happen, but that's pretty much it.
Yep. We've got another news article about the Hall of Fame. Apparently, we all know that Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, and Starscream are the first four, and they're having votes for the fifth one. You can choose from Devastator, Beast Wars Dinobot, Grimlock, Rodimus, Ironhide, Jazz, Jetfire, Prowl, Shockwave, Soundwave, Unicron, and Wheeljack. Obviously, we all know who my vote's going to go to.
Well, me too. There's what I'm voting for and what I expect to actually win and what I actually feel should win ultimately in the end. While I voted for Rodimus, I feel that, in all honesty, Soundwave's going to win it.
Yeah.
And on top of Soundwave winning it, I think he deserves it because if you look at the other four, those are characters that even if you find the most casual, hasn't watched Transformers in 15 years, like guy in his like mid to late 20s, he still remembers Soundwave. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, same thing. You remember Bumblebee. You remember Soundwave. You might not remember Grimlock's name, but you remember Grimlock. You remember Devastator. You remember Optimus Prime. You remember Starscream. You remember Megatron. It's like those are like the quintessential, like, never-forget Transformer characters. While I love Rodimus, he's not on that list, you know?
Yeah. So
I feel that before they even get to Rodimus, they should get, like, Devastator, Grimlock and Soundwave out of the way. After that, sure. Anyone, you know, I feel Rodimus should be ahead of Shockwave. I should feel Rodimus should be ahead of a lot of characters, especially how much Japan loves Rodimus, you know. Like, they love him more than a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Soundwave doesn't mean anything in Japan. He was completely wasted on the Japanese. They didn't understand his popularity.
Yeah.
So, but well, I really think Soundwave's going to win it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do, too. And I hope he does. What I don't understand is why did they include Dinobot? No offense to Dinobot, but...
I think that they wanted to include someone from Beast Wars, and because he did make a big impact, and he's one of the few Transformer characters that died and stayed dead. I mean, yeah, sure, he was cloned and stuff, but him as a character actually stayed dead.
Yeah.
Even, like, Depth Charge, even though he died in the cartoon, he was brought back in the comic books of Universe. So, like, he's the only character that, like, he was a noble character, he had a lot of development, he had a great episode. Code of Hero is easily one of the best Transformer episodes ever made. You know, he got some great figures. They made an effort with the Henkei figure, you know, to really make it as close to the show model as possible.
Yeah.
And I guess they just feel like if there's one, you know, it's him and Beast Wars Megatron that stand out to me as the two characters that if you want to, like, pick two of the best of the show, it's those two.
Yeah.
Because Beast Wars Megatron, David Kaye is just amazing. But
yes. Yes, yes,
that's a whole other story.
Now, it's my understanding, I don't know if I read this on I'm reading all this stuff off TFW, but I don't know. I'm kind of confused about how the whole thing of a Transformers Hall of Fame works, only because, like, the only thing I can compare it to, and I feel very sad for doing this, but, like, the WWE Hall of Fame, okay?
The whole speculation that there is for this, and everyone's kind of thinking the same thing, is back in, I think it was 2002, TFW was approached by Hasbro to do a voting for your favorite Transformer character of all time. They asked that.
Right.
Lo and behold, guess who won? Optimus Prime, you know? And then they revealed to us afterwards that the voting was very important because it was used to decide on a new 20th anniversary figure And that 20th anniversary figure later on became the 20th anniversary Optimus Prime and the masterpiece Optimus Prime that we know today.
Right.
What everyone thinks this whole voting for is I think that they're going to do some kind of, like, maybe in the future 30th anniversary, like, five-pack.
Right.
Commemorating, you know, because if they're going to do, like, a five, if they're going to do, like, a five-pack of the most quintessential important characters, they obviously want to make sure that they get that voting from everyone, you know?
Right.
Not that Hasbro couldn't do it, figure it out themselves, but I guess they just feel like we're involved. I don't know.
Well, the thing about it is, I believe I read an earlier Hall of Fame story on TFW, not this one, about the voting, that it said something about, or it might have been on tformers.com, I don't know. It was on one of the Transformers sites that said, you know, they're going to have this Hall of Fame dinner this year at BotCon, and they're going to honor each of the characters and the people who played the characters.
Well, if that's the case, then that means, what, Frank Welker is going to make a surprise showing? Who's never done a convention ever? And if it's Soundwave that wins on top of Megatron, that's already two Frank Welker characters. Chris Latta is dead. Peter Cullen would be showing up again. And Bumblebee, well, Dan Gilbison's going to be all over the place anyways in the UK and stuff, so he might as well make a show up there, too.
Well, you know, I might be wrong in what I read. I don't know. I could have sworn that's what I read. Again, I'm not absolutely positive, so don't take it at face value.
Oh, yeah. I've been to BotCon dinners. They range. Like, in 2006, they did a BotCon dinner where it was like the best and worst of 2006, best and worst toy, best and worst. And it was during the dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a disaster, but let's just say they never did it ever again, you know? Like,
yeah.
That was like, that was, and then like in the 2008 dinner, they did like, you know, blackjack and poker and all kinds of stuff for charity. And then a raffle and all kinds. And then auctions using the money that you won from the blackjack. And it was fake money. And then they had buffet, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, 2008 wasn't exactly the best BotCon year, but I mean, every year they try to experiment with the dinner, like some kind of like new way to make it not too formal, but you know, still welcoming that everyone could go around and talk to people. So maybe they're, you know, with this they're going to do the Hall of Fame, and we're all going to sit down with our chicken dinners and reminisce about Soundwave. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We'll see what happens.
Henkei Convoy has been re-released. Wow, I wish I could get that.
Well, it's I guess because he probably sold out like crazy in Japan, because the City Commander sets, while they're extremely popular in the Japanese market, they never got Ultra Magnus over there.
Yeah.
So, if anything, people are buying Henkei Convoy for the sake that it's Henkei Convoy, and then they're buying more of them to attach to their Powered Commander, City Commander, Nemesis Commander, every other commander, you know, Daya Commander.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where the only only color mold of the Classics Prime mold that I don't have, outside of the white one, which I will never have because I really don't care about City Commander,
Boy, that's ridiculously expensive.
Well, I've always thought of myself as, okay, it's a white Optimus Prime. Why can't you give us an actual Ultra Magnus figure that is not a white Optimus Prime?
Because
I understand why, but, you know, it's just one of those things where I think Ultra Magnus basically just got the way short end of the stick. However, I do have Shatterglass Prime, I do have Nemesis, and I would love to have the original, even though this is the Henkei version. Everybody loves Chrome.
The Henkei version is actually nicer, in my opinion, personally.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's the better buy of the two.
Yes.
So I would go with it. I mean, the only good news that comes of this is that means the mold is now back into the market again, thus making it not, I wouldn't say rare, but now at least it's more common. It's still on the shelves, so prices won't be jacked, you know?
Yeah.
So if there's a better opportunity to get it now, is it, you know?
Yeah. And yesterday, very huge news came out from Fans Project.
Yep.
And that's probably the main reason why I had Proto Man on this episode of All Things Transformers. Protector images have been shown to us. And oh my god, it looks awesome. Even though it's just resin art so far, I mean, you can see the design in the trailer, especially on the wheels. Not the wheels themselves of the actual Rodimus toy, but like right next to the... You can see the continuation of the of the piping. And, oh my god. Wow. How do you feel about the image that shows the fact that not a lot of his back has got armor on it?
Well, the first thing I want to bring up is that this toy was originally teased to us, like the first time it was ever revealed was at TFCon 2008. Mm-hmm. When Fans Project showed up, they had this. We gave them this nice huge display. It was the first time they were ever doing any conventions. They kind of wanted to avoid BotCon because they were worried when they were first starting that Hasbro would give them a hard time. But luckily, when they came to TFCon 2008, some Hasbro Canada representatives were there, and they were like, "Hey, we like your stuff," you know. And so, you know, they felt better. But in that 2008 convention that they came to, they showed their Cliff Jumper, they showed their City Commander, and then they had this teaser art. And it wasn't the art of the toy. It was just a picture of some character holding the Matrix of Leadership, and it said Protector. And I was like, is that Rodimus? But it didn't really look like Rodimus. What it was, essentially, it was like art of the upper torso of the Protector Super Mode, if you will, Super Lama. So that's why we didn't really get that Rodimus vibe, because there wasn't anything that said, this is a Rodimus toy, or this is a Rodimus character design that we're familiar with. But he was holding the Matrix, and it said Protector. And Rodimus's classification in Japan is he's, you know, Autobot Protector, you know, and same thing in America, like the Rodimus Prime G1 toy. So a lot of people made that assumption. But we thought that, you know, because he was holding the Matrix and Fans Project at the time was working on a glowing Matrix accessory, we thought that it was about the Matrix accessory that they were working on. Because up to that point, Fans Project has only done upgrade kits for pre-existing figures. And the City Commander just came out, and prior to that they did what was called the Cliff Jumper one, which to my knowledge his name was – I actually own the set. I have it right here nearby. It was Classics Cliff. That's what it was called? No, it can't be. Really? Well, TFC EX01. I own that one. My number is, for those who... I own number 213 out of 300. Anyways, you know, they showed us that one. And so we thought, oh, it's going to be like a Matrix upgrade accessory. And they showed us, like, you know, some stuff that they were working on that ended up getting canceled in the end and all kinds of upgrade kits. So we kind of, like, cast that under the rug. And then TFCon 2009, they brought a whole bunch of, like, teaser images of what Protector was going to look like, but, of course, blacked out. And we all, like, bugged them at the table. Oh, is it going to be like this? Is it going to be like that? And they're like, oh, don't worry. He's going to come out soon. Oddly enough, while they were showing us Protector, they were also teasing at a project they were only just starting to work on called Warbot Defender, which, weird,
as we all know, is Springer.
Yeah, is Springer, and in the end ended up coming out. And then we were all worried because we were like, well, Warbot Defender just came out. Like, did you guys skip over Rodimus? Is he not happening? And so we kind of, like, lost hope. And then it all went cold, and we didn't hear anything about this toy for a while.
Until yesterday.
And then out of nowhere, yesterday, they show us these resins, and my mouth dropped. Okay, what I want
to
say
Wait. Just before you start, I just have to point out one thing. I am looking at the image of them showing the back of him off, and I've got it enlarged. One of the things I like about the arms for the arm part of the armor, it actually gives the Classics Rodimus elbows.
Oh, yes, of course. And they're very smart how it connects, too, because I already transformed my Henkei Rodimus to the body mode that it is right now inside there. And it looks like there's pegs that were meant to clip in. It's kind of crazy how they figured this out.
Yeah.
But I'll just, like, hit at it each point. What I really like, first of all, is how they implicated his gun with the rest of the toy, as in the original toy's gun. they use it that in vehicle mode, you could still attach it to the back, and it still has the flame gimmick and everything. But when it's in robot mode, there's an extra piece of plastic that attaches to the gun instead of the flame missile that makes it an even bigger gun.
I don't know. Yeah, but where do you put the flame missile, though? That does.
But no, now this one, because now he's a bigger robot, now he's got a bigger gun. Like, if you see, it attaches to...
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
I think that's pretty, like, cool that they did that, although now I don't know where the flame missile goes, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where's the... Yeah.
Now, as for the exposure on the back, yeah, like, a lot of people kind of make, you know, the relation to, like, G1 Ultra Magnus, where from the back it's all kind of, like, out there. But I think that if the colors are done properly, and if it's, like, as Henkei Rodimus kind of has a different hue of red to the,
yes,
to
he
the
does.
Classics Rodimus. Well, so he... this is gonna be really dependent on which mold they're aiming to do it at. But if they do, let's say they do it in Classics Rodimus colors, like that hue of red, then if it matches nicely and it all fuses together well, it probably won't even be noticeable. Because Rodimus's trailer to begin with, the original one, was the same maroon as his body with a little bit of orange on the underside, and that's it.
Yeah.
So if they want to stay true to that in the alt mode and then somehow transfer that to the robot mode, I think it'll all work out in the end. And people have to keep in mind, a lot of people don't realize this, but... the actual robot mode for Protector only consists of half of the bits and pieces that the trailer is, because the other half of the trailer is used to make a combat deck like the original Rodimus figure.
Right.
It's going to have, like, the double-barrel cannon, and it's going to have a crosshair and everything.
Yeah, I see that.
Like, how it works is that in alt mode, you have that chunk that's on top of Rodimus's, like, roof.
Yeah.
Like, of his car mode. And that chunk is going to detach, and the majority of those pieces are going to be what makes the arms, chest, head, and bottom feet of Rodimus. The rest of it is going to be just like G1 Rodimus, where it's separated, and it becomes a combat station. It looks like a turret station, but
yeah.
They're kind of going for that giant double-barrel gun combat deck look that the original toy had.
What,
cool. I appreciate that. A lot of people are like, well, why doesn't it just like completely, you know, attach to Rodimus? Well, you have to remember... Even with City Commander, they couldn't do everything with the pieces, and they were just kind of like, oh, what do we do with this leftover block? Oh, let's just give him a humongous gun.
Yeah.
You know? Now, Ultra Magnus didn't have a humongous BFG gun, so they were just kind of like going, well, where are we going to put this chunk of plastic? Where this one, they were like, well, we have a chunk of plastic, why don't we make a homage out of it? And already with Titanium's Rodimus, we already got the Rodimus that's able to transform with the rest of his trailer. So it's nice to get something that's more of a G1 nod, and I'm pretty sure all the G1 collectors will like it better this way anyways.
Yes, I so need to get Henkei Rodimus. I so need to get him.
Oh, yeah. Easily, out of I own, like, to say three different versions, but I own even more because I own, like, the Wild Rider version, the BotCon version. But yeah. Even, like, when Classics Rodimus came out, Repro Labels released a sticker set that upgraded your Classics Rodimus into a more G1 looking Rodimus, and I did that too. And then when Henkei Rodimus came out, that just like blew away everything, because it's not even just the chrome spoiler that's like, you know, the gold chrome spoiler, which just completely does it for me, because
yeah.
You know, I don't know what happened throughout the years, but you know, Hot Rod was never known for having an orange spoiler. But as the years progressed, people started associating that with him, and I find that very weird.
Well, it was yellow, wasn't it, in the movie?
It's always been yellow, even the original toy. And then throughout the years, like even there was a bust by Hard Heroes. They made it like an orangey yellow. And then as the years progressed, they started making it like almost orange. Even the recently shown Shattered Glass Cyclonus that came out, everyone's going, oh, it's a Rodimus homage. And I'm like, well, what makes you say that? He's red and orange, you know? To my knowledge, Rodimus is red, you know, the orange bits are like, you know, if you're talking the show model, the orange only comes from the legs and the chest, where people make the, you know, the connection with the toy, because he also had orange fists, he had orange this, or that. But the spoiler was never orange. It was always yellow.
Yes.
Blazing yellow. And
the gold chrome works.
Yeah, the gold chrome completely makes it not orange anymore. Now it's like a yellow gold, and it looks great. And on top of that, the translucent plastic, which was originally purple for like the windshield and the missile, now it's the dark blue, which is again more accurate to the original G1 toy that was a clear dark blue. So it's just, it's easily, without bias, it's one of my favorite Transformer toys ever made. I bought a case of six of these. I know that's pretty sad, but I bought a case of six of these from ages three and up before they went under. And I love it. It's easily one of the best molds, and Protector is just going to be even greater. I predict I'm going to buy three of these, and I know, again, people are going, why are you buying three? Are you crazy? But yeah, I'm going to probably buy three of these.
What do you think of the head sculpt?
It looks good. It's the head and the chest, and a lot of it, I'm really waiting for
the colors.
For the colors, because, you know, Transformer toys, they kind of go two ways. Sometimes you see the gray version of it, and then you go, oh, it looks great, and then you see it in color, and you're like, ugh, you know? And then there's other times where you see it in gray, and you go, oh, what an ugly toy, but then the colors make up for it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of times people, they have a toy that they don't like, but then it gets a really good redeco, and then all of a sudden you love the toy. It's one of those things where right now I can't really give an opinion, especially something as important as the face, until I see how they do it. You know, I hope that they, you know, get the blue eyes instead of just going for a clear, I mean, a 100% silver face. Or what if they do a matte gray, you know? And
yeah.
For the forehead, are they going to paint in the crest that's usually associated with Rodimus Prime, which is a darker maroon? Or are they going to go for the more Ox design where it was an orange crest, which is similar to how the Henkei and the Classics toy is that they have on the forehead, which is also kind of associated. I mean, there's so many things I have to first see, how they're going to go about this. The only thing about the head, though, is that from what it looks like, I don't think it goes over his head. I think it's actually two pieces that snap together over his face.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because, I don't know, there's one image that it looks like the head is, like, it extends more behind him, and it looks like there's a second piece that's holding it all together. But maybe it's just the image. It's hard to say.
What do you, as far as the trailer goes, I'm looking at the image where they show the back of it with the blue flame coming out from under, which it kind of makes me think he's shitting out a blue piece of crap. It just kind of looks weird to me.
It looks great, though.
Oh, no, it looks great. It looks great. It's kind of weird, but it looks...
I just hope that they paint in those wheels black to match with everything else, though.
Oh, yeah. What I'm going to ask you about is, what do you think of where they put the holes for the spoiler so it can fit over the armor?
I think they had to do that because...
No, I know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but...
It's one of those things that I'm pretty sure when we see the toy in color... It'll probably mesh better, you know what I mean? I mean, it really sticks out now, you know, I mean, to the point where you look at it and it's like, wow, the gold is so gold that it's even reflecting its, like, shine onto the toy.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it's a resin, so it's just absorbing every color around it right now. But, I mean, yeah, like, that Classics toy, and spoiler is huge, so there was no, you know, if you look at the original G1 Rodimus, like, his spoiler is practically castrated compared to his hot rod toy, just so it could accommodate that trailer, you know. So this one, they were like, well, we can't change the spoiler, so we got to do something about it. So they worked around it, and it's kind of smart. And I'm pretty sure with the colors, it's going to look just fine.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
I've been looking forward to this more than anything. You know, people right now are snapping up Warbot Defender. Even me, I'm going, you know what? The budget that's going towards Warbot Defender could be saved and put towards, like, an extra Protector. Not even Protector, an extra Protector.
Yeah. Know? See, that's why I – see, that's the thing, though. I don't know how fast, like, BBTS or whoever else is going to sell out of Warbot, but – I am so waiting. I don't give a damn at this point about fucking Warbot.
The thing with Warbot Protector and with Warbot Defender and why I haven't picked him up yet is because he's one of those things from the third party guys that I know Hasbro one day will do. One day Hasbro is going to give us that epic, amazing triple changer Springer toy.
Yeah.
They have it. I mean, there's a reason why they keep his name in the archives. There's a reason why he was given a movie toy. I mean, that's why they do that. They do the name dropping to keep the name in circulation for one day to give us that amazing figure. I mean, sure, we got the BotCon figure that only turned into one thing, and then the Universe 2.0 repaint of EVAC that only turns into one thing. But one day we will get it, and it will be amazing. Sure, it won't have die-cast like the Warbot Defender, and it won't look exactly like that, but it might be worse, but who knows? It might be better. And until then, I'm not scrambling to do that. Where I bought City Commander because I know there's no way Hasbro down the line is going to go, okay, we're going to release a trailer that's going to work with this Target-exclusive toy that came out like 5 years ago that'll make your White Optimus Prime into Ultra Magnus. That's never going to happen.
Yeah. You know?
So that's why I got City Commander. It's the same thing with this Protector. There's no way that they're – you know, a lot of people already say you got Hot Rod from Classics Rodimus and you got Rodimus Prime from Titanium 6-inch Rodimus, you know? Like, those were your two Classics versions of the character, you know? So there's no way that they would go back and do something like this either. Where, again, Warbot – I'm not rushing because that's
I can wait on him outside of my – see, you know, I mentioned on one of the ToyCast episodes that hasn't been released yet, but General Techno had reviewed his on a ToyCast episode. And everybody knows for the most part that ever since I started buying animated toys, I buy two of everything because I hate transforming toys. I just hate doing it because I have to do it one-handed and my blur, the legs fucking broke off.
That's just it, because that's another thing too with Warbot is that I've been hearing a lot of different quality control issues. Number one, his sword is super fragile.
Right.
And we're not talking like fragile, we're talking like super guys who are skilled with Transformers are nervous transforming it fragile.
Right.
So and not to mention, I'm pretty sure, just like how they reissued City Commander twice already,
yeah,
with upgrades and new faces and new accessories.
They'll do that with Warbot.
I'm pretty sure they'll do it with Warbot, and they'll probably give him a better sword and this. It's just, you know how it is? They release it the first time, everyone eats it up, and then they release a better one, and then everyone eats that one up. So they'll make double the money.
It's a waiting game. Outside of my Springer hate, I would, you know, like I said before, normally I have to buy two of everything depending on whatever it is. Because Springer is a triple changer and because I really don't care for the character, if I ever did get Warbot bought, I would only get one for the robot mode. Thank God he comes packaged in robot mode.
Oh, yeah.
And I would eventually get City Commander. Obviously, I'm going to be getting Protector whenever it comes out. You know, so I can have like the whole trifecta, of, you know, season 3 G1 stuff, but you know, I'm not in any big rush. Moving on, I guess, to more juicy news here. Apparently, a TFW 2005 sponsor, Red Leader of Kapow Toys, has stopped by with an updated release schedule for several upcoming Takara Tomy releases. First, in Transformers Animated, we have the following. These are all in July. Leader Megatron, Swindle, Jazz, Sentinel Prime, Retgar, and then in August, we have Blur, Ultra Magnus, Samurai Prowl, Cybertron Ratchet, Rodimus, yes, Jetpack Bumblebee, which I'm assuming is supposed to be Hydro Dive.
Yeah, it's probably the Hydro Dive one that got canceled.
Yeah, that's in September, and then Wingblade Optimus Prime is in September. I'm not going to mention the other ones because they're all movie toys. I really don't care. But just looking at the image that they have of the American version of the Rodimus Prime – Rodimus Minor. I don't care about fucking calling it – it's Rodimus Prime. That's just what it is to me. Just looking at this toy and seeing an actual image of it without like the BotCon shelves and stuff that Gog Dog took last year – awesome. I want it. I want it now.
Like, me personally, I think that the dates are kind of confusing right now. Like, hold on a sec. Let me just see. Because it says August. And originally it was, okay, it was supposed to be August 8th, 2010 for the Rodimus in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, they had the Crystal Rodimus that comes in a two-pack with Optimus that supposedly comes a month before. I'm trying to find the link for that so I could get the exact date. Here we go. Yeah, it comes out in July, which is even more bizarre. So I don't know. Like, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like, originally everyone was so scared that this animated Rodimus was not going to come out. And, you know, we were like, oh my god, if we don't get it, it'll be a disaster. But then Japan, like, you know, saved us and said, well, either way, we're getting him, so.
Yeah.
Like, all I know is there's going to be, like, you know, we wanted this mold so bad, now there's going to be three different iterations of it, so.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get plenty of Rodimus this like, tail end of 2010.
Yeah, you know, like, the only other images outside of the BotCon case ones we saw last year was the Photoshopped image. And as we all know, Photoshopped images are, you know, the colors are all wrong and everything else. I like seeing this actual toy because we see that the crossbow is a mount. Or not crossbow, but the bow thing that he has.
The weapon, yeah.
Is a mount on the hood. I'm not too crazy about the missiles. They look like Blitzwing's missiles from Animated.
I think it's more because they had to put some kind of play factor in it for the kids.
Although, right, right.
Although I don't think a single kid on the planet is going to be able to get to these. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, I can imagine the one girl that's like, I want RC. It's like, yeah, good luck, kid.
Yeah.
Get past all the surly scalpers that are, like, pushing you over, you know.
Now, you've seen this image that I'm looking at, right? The one that was in the story.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at his foot on the robot mode. Is he going to have poseability in his feet? Because it looks like from the ankle to his actual foot at the bottom, it looks like his actual foot is poseable. Like, you could have him posed with his, like, now you turn your foot inwards.
Yeah.
It looks like it has poseability like that.
From what Derek Wyatt told me, because he actually handled this toy, he said that it gave him a vibe of Animated Jazz, which, when he said that to me, I was like, well, Animated Jazz was, like, the first thing that pops in my mind was, like, super simplistic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not, you know, I'm not going to knock the figure over that, like, but it's just, looking at this toy, I see that, I think those legs are going to tuck together, like, very well under the robot mode. I think that if you picked up this alt mode and you flipped it upside down, it would be like Animated Jazz, where the entire robot mode is completely visual under there.
Right.
It's kind of like a shell former on a car, but not exactly. But what it's going to do is you get these legs that don't really need to transform anywhere. They're just, like, tucked under the entire car, but they're going to be super poseable.
Now, see, I went over to my shelf and I grabbed Jazz because, you know, I'm trying to see the comparison. And obviously Jazz is not the same mold as Rodimus. But,
oh, no, of course not.
You know, if you look at that image, at the bottom of where Rodimus's ankle is, it's more of a circular thing.
Yeah, it's a ball joint, clearly.
Right, and he has it's an actual foot. It's not a one foot part and then a heel spur that comes out. Just by looking at it, it looks like it's an actual physical solid foot.
Yeah, that's what's amazing is because this like whole bottom torso of the figure, like crotch down, that's like it has no purpose for transformation at all. It is 100% action figure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just looking at Jazz's feet here, and it just doesn't seem like it's possible that
obviously not. I think what Derek Wyatt meant though was he was trying to say, like, this is one of those figures where the transformation is extremely simplistic, and it's all hidden under the chassis of the car.
Right.
Like, you see the chassis of the car, but the chassis of the car isn't really that, you know, important to the robot mode. Because, I mean, just looking at the alt mode right now, like, clearly how it's going to work is Rodimus's arms, okay, in robot mode,
mm-hmm.
are going to make the entire front-to-back left side of the car. And right side of the car, like,
right,
and the I'm not front to back, but door to rear, and then the chest is going to make up for the entire front part of the car. The front wheels are going to tuck in to the chest,
Okay.
And the rear wheels, which you could already see, are mounted on his arms.
Okay.
On his shoulders, excuse me. What I think is a beautiful feat of engineering is they engineered out the engine block, which has always been a problem with Rodimus figures, is what do you do with that engine?
Didn't they just flip it around?
Yeah, they flip it around so that it becomes an Autobot logo, which is really cool. Because with the G1 toy, they put it on the back of his head, and with the Classics toy, they were just like, oh, just leave it on his chest, you know? Like,
yeah.
But this, it's really smart that they did that. And it's just, after you do all of that, you pretty much, it's going to be super easy to transform. I think the only angle I want to see is I want to see the behind of the alt mode, because I want to see what's hiding back there. Like, how well are they hiding everything else? What is that piece of plastic that's back there that's possibly hiding the feet? You know, because clearly the feet are what are dangling at the back there.
Yeah, it looks on the robot mode, it looks like it's just the windshield.
Yeah, see, how it works is that Rodimus's head is clearly, you can kind of make it out, it's clearly he's in alt mode, his head is there under the windshield, and when you transform it, again, that windshield, it looks huge. It looks like it goes from the top of the chest all the way to the back of the alt mode.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the best, like, Derek Wyatt, he text messaged me a photo of the alt mode from the top, but again, it was really grainy, you know, cell phone photo of the figure. And he only did that to tease me. You know, imagine the BotCon Saturday night, I get a text message. I didn't go to that BotCon. I was really stupid not to. And I get a text message from Derek Wyatt, and he's just like, you know, hey, jealous asshole. And
yeah.
I see he's holding the actual actual animated Rodimus. And he's just like, you know, sticking his tongue out. And I was like, oh my God, you know.
And what do you think of his hands? Because if you look at his left arm, his hands look like they're posable. It looks like his fingers are posable.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be like an open and close fist, which is going to be used for the gimmick of the crossbow, which is pretty cool because they kind of screwed up with RC. Because from what I heard with the RC mold, is she has these open fists, but they're stationary. They don't open and close. They're just open.
Yeah.
And as a result, her blades don't exactly...
Well, like, you have
there's
to...
Only one, there's only one way you could load them in, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And so with this one, it's kind of like... They're like, well, now you have, like, these fists that'll wrap around the weapon, which is awesome because to have finger posability in a deluxe figure... This figure is going to be amazing. It's just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that goes beyond saying. It's going to be awesome. What this actually, the whole finger hand posing thing reminds me of Leader Magnus.
Oh yeah,
because
again, yeah, but that you get with Leader toys, you know.
Well, right.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, I see that with like the first Transformer toy to ever do that. If you don't want to count Omega Supreme as finger articulation, which it's not really but if you don't want to count G1 Omega Supreme, the first ever toy to really have that. Was the Supreme Optimus Primal from Robots in Disguise, which was the Beast Machines mold. And then after that, it was Unicron, and then we got it with Unicron again, and Primus had it. So it's really cool to, like, get this with a small figure, you know,
yeah.
Like, and especially with Rodimus, which this figure is a perfect 10. It's you know, like, this is the most anticipated animated figure, and this is not a bias from me. It's just everyone.
No, it's the truth. It's the God's honest truth.
I'm so excited about this figure because, I mean, I guess the good thing about him coming out so late and him like being held off so long was that they really had, like, the designers had a good amount of time to really understand the line, understand the engineering, and then make the most perfect deluxe you could possibly get for your money. You know, like, this figure, I guarantee, is going to be impossible to find. It, like, you know, you think, like, RC is all great and all, but it's still RC, you know? So, like, there's people like you and me that are like, I want RC, but I could wait, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people like that. And then there's a lot of people that are just like, why would I want RC? Or why would I want an animated figure? But animated haters, you know, and everyone alike wants this figure because it's not just an amazing animated figure. it's not just an amazing like engineer, it's an amazing Rodimus figure. Like, yep. This figure just, it stands in with anything.
Yep.
You know, like a lot of people, they look at their classics Rodimus and they're happy with it, but they're still not satisfied with the articulation, or it doesn't look too dynamic, or his feet are blocky, or they don't like that his face looks like the Energon Rodimus face, which is kind of like, it has more of a grin, you know, a grim looking face. Where this one, it just, it really gives you that youthful, you know, slick looking Rodimus. And it's great. It's absolutely great. I'm so stoked for this figure. Like, you know, I remember Takara at the beginning of 2010 said that this year is going to be a humongous nod to the year that it is. And that's all they said in a bad translation. But what a lot of people interpreted that is because the year 2010 in the Japanese continuity was season 3. It was right. called Transformers 2010, and that was the year Rodimus was leader. And so far, we have Protector. We have this amazing Rodimus coming out, and a lot of people are speculating that's also when they're going to announce Masterpiece Rodimus. And if that's true, wow, this is going to easily be the best year for me Transformers-related in a very long time.
Oh, yes. Before we close and go to the outro, I just want to bring up the Optimus, the Wingblade.
Yep.
I like the robot mode where all the it's almost like they took something from Fans Project, even though I know they didn't, and obviously they can't, but it almost looks like armor. Obviously it is armor, because that's how it was in the show. I don't like it in alt mode, though.
You know what it is? It's, first of all, the entire design itself, it was designed by Derek Wyatt, and he said he was 100% going for God Ginrai. If anyone's familiar, if the listeners are familiar, God Ginrai was like the extra upgrade to Power Master Optimus Prime.
Okay.
Where he had wings, he had a double, he had a cannon, he had like, you know, arm wings and everything. He was going completely for that. And I think it was also because Hasbro was like, wow, we finally released an Optimus Prime toy that doesn't have some kind of trailer. So I think this was like their last attempt to give him something to have on the hitch. You know, I mean, it doesn't look super great, but you know, it's something.
I think it looks awesome in robot mode.
Oh, of course, yes.
But like, this is one of those things again. Like I was trying to say earlier with Warbot, I will only buy one Warbot. I will buy this figure once for the robot mode and have him stationary in robot mode as Wingblade Prime.
Like here, Mike, I'm sending you a picture right now of God Ginrai, who was from Transformers Master Force. And you'll see it. The second you see it, you're going to see the homages like crazy.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not saying anything that...
But do you see what... Are you looking at right now?
Yeah.
Like, you see what... Like, look at the arms, like the wings that are hanging off the arms.
Yeah.
It's even the same colors. It has the little yellow accent at the tip.
Oh, yeah.
It has everything. Like, Derek Wyatt went out of his way to make sure that he did that 100% to be like a nod to that. Because God Ginrai was one of those... like Japanese-only characters that were like super powerful and super heroic, and he kind of wanted to have that for the final battle between Megatron and Optimus. So
yeah, I mean, you know, that's
and hey, you know, a two-scale Magnus hammer, that's a little added plus, you know.
Oh yeah, well, Optimus with the Magnus hammer is awesome, and yeah. Plus, I wonder if now this Wingblade he's the Voyager size, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the Voyager size, but people aren't sure if it's a re-engineered Voyager that's going to have like it's exactly the same like the original Voyager, but we don't know if there's like a peg or two that it's been added to it to make stuff work.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, my question was because I heard rumors that it might also be I've never seen a deluxe Earth Mode Optimus.
There isn't.
Was
one,
it? Oh, the Battle 2-pack.
But unless you count the Battle 2-pack, but it looked nothing like that.
Okay.
The chest was a lot more. I guess the word is condensed.
Right.
You know?
What I'm getting at is obviously that Magnus hammer he's holding is a little bit smaller than Ultra Magnus's. So I'm wondering if TFA Shockwave Purple Wave can hold it.
Oh, it's a possibility.
That would be awesome.
It's a possibility. That would be great, too.
That would be so awesome.
I'm looking forward to this one, too. I'm very happy that the Japanese picked it up because it looks like Hasbro really isn't interested in releasing it.
Which kind of sucks.
I mean, it does.
I know that animated... Okay, I get that animated is over. But, I mean, come on, Hasbro. Let Cartoon Network release Season 3 on DVD. Let it be done. Let us have our damn DVDs. Give us our damn toys, and you can keep moving or keep making crappy movie toys if you want to.
It's kind of the sad fact that's with Hasbro is that even in the face of something that's extreme, like Hasbro, like animated had great ratings, the DVDs were selling very well, the toys were selling very well, and even with all that in its face, they still pulled the plug, which is very disheartening. And I hope that Hasbro isn't do. It's a very Japanese kind of thing. Where no matter how successful something is, you got to keep moving forward. That's kind of like how they are. They never want to, like...
I understand that, but...
Like, every Power Ranger series every year in Japan is a reboot. They just, like, regardless if the series before was super successful, they're like, well, your time's up. Bye-bye. Goodbye, characters. New year. That's how they always work. And, you know, it's a shame that Hasbro did this. You know, the series was... Like, if a series is not successful... They cut everything and they start from scratch again. But in the face of something super successful, they cut from scratch and do everything over again, and that's kind of sad.
Well, wasn't it the thing of, oh, well, we have to cut animated short because the movie's coming out. Oh, my God, we have to do all this now. Wasn't that the case?
Well, we have Transformers Prime coming.
Right,
is,
but...
It could have easily been... animated season 4. I mean, unless Transformer Prime has some really deep movie tied in stuff, I don't really see why they had to go that direction.
Exactly. I am absolutely betting that Transformers Prime I really don't want to make this speculation, but I will because I'm betting it's going to be a movie tie in between 2 and 3.
My speculation is that it's gonna be something that I saw Eric Sebanoff or one of the BotCon. He's one of the Hasbro designers, but he was at BotCon. He released a book that he showed all kinds of sketches when he was first working on animated season 3 with Derek Wyatt, and he did all these designs of like animated inspired movie designs. And I kind of like got this vibe of that's what the next series is going to be, where it's still going to have that animated look to it, but it's going to have a very movie aesthetic at the same time, like almost like a hybrid of the two of them, where it's simple enough for television, but it's complex enough to hearken that movie aesthetic. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because you know, like we already saw the Bumblebee. We kind of like got a look of what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that's a very – right there speaks for itself. It's a very – it's a twist of the two of them, you know? And I guess, you know, like BotCon, we're going to see everything. They're going to show everything, and they're going to show all the toys, and we're all going to freak out. And everything we're talking about right now is going to go down the toilet. But until then, like, that's kind of, you know, and also I think another reason why they dropped animated was because they wanted to go back to CG for a television show.
And that's fine.
The only thing that bothers me with that is CG shows today – are not like they were back then. And I don't want to like say it in like a, oh, nostalgic, it was better back in the day kind of way. I mean that when Mainframe was doing CG shows, they had a lot of guys, because this was a Canadian company.
Yeah.
And they were really bent on proving themselves, being a Canadian company. And they had guys that, they weren't workers, they were guys who loved what they did. And episodes like Reboot, and War Planets, which we knew as Shadow Raiders here in Canada, and Beast Wars, as we know as Beasties in Canada, and Weirdos, even Weirdos, if anyone remembers Weirdos, which was another Mainframe show that they did. Everything was done with a very high budget and a lot of effort and guys pulling all-nighters. And then you had other CG companies come out, like V-Force, which was famous for Voltron, and Roughnecks, which was the Starship Troopers show, and... Max Steel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those were American companies that showed us what happens when a company kind of does CG, but they do it for television, and so it's lower budget, you know? And it was kind of disheartening to see that. And then you march forward to today, and you look at the CG shows that are on TV today, like Stormhawks and stuff. And while they don't look too bad, they're still not that high quality CG that you got from Shadow Raiders or Beast Wars. And so I really hope whoever Hasbro got to do the CG for Prime, I hope these guys have their heart in it. I really do.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of Beast Wars was that it's something that you couldn't get with cell animation, and it was something you couldn't get with even the most highest cell animation. You got emotions. Like, I remember, and I always, every time someone mentions what did you love about Beast Wars, and I always say, I remember at the end of the episode, Guerrilla Warfare. And that was the episode where Optimus Primal went crazy and he broke into the Predacon base because he was like, he had a virus.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the episode, Optimus recovers and Dinobot's doing his vigil. And there's this exchange that they say to each other. And Dinobot's about to leave the room. And he goes, it's good to have you back. And then Primal turns over to him and he says, you know, back here, back to normal, or just, you know, back in the base. And then he's like, you know, both. And then you see from the corner of his lip, it kind of curls up into a smirk and he walks away. And so much was moving and expressing on that head of Dinobot that it showed so much emotion and expression. And then you had Primal, he turned over and he chuckled to himself, and you see the whole chuckle. And like, the characters were breathing, they were blinking. You know, yep. There was so much emotion shown in the facial expressions, where as much as I loved animated, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
It wasn't there at all. And the same thing, when the Japanese did the CG for Cybertron and Energon, which I think, while I liked Cybertron, I think the CG was atrocious, you know, it wasn't there. It wasn't there for Armada. It wasn't there for, car robots, also known as robots in disguise. Mm-hmm. It's just, we only had that with Beast Wars and with Beast Machines. And I hope that we get that back, and that organic, you know, that these characters were alive, you know?
Right. You know, one of the things I don't get, there was a story, oh God, a few months ago, might have been a month ago or so, on TFW about the Hasbro Q&A panel or whatever. And one of the answers was that as of yet, Transformers Animated Season 3 is not coming to DVD.
Yes.
What I do not understand is why the fuck not? You have this new cartoon coming up. Why not just release it to prepare for the new cartoon, get it on the shelves, let us fans fucking have it already so we can... Well, I don't know if I should say this, but so we can take the damn episodes off our computers. You know, I want those damn DVDs. Why the hell won't they freaking do it?
You know, and it's a real shame, too, because, like, Derek Wyatt, he was looking forward to doing the commentary for all the episodes for that, because the difference between Season 1 and Season 2 with Season 3 was Season 3 episodes, every episode was packed with stuff. So he would have loved to do, like, you know, 13 episodes of commentary explaining everything. Where when, you know, Season 1, there wasn't a lot of extras. Season 2, Derek Wyatt was able to do the commentary for, like, some of his favorite episodes, at least. Like, yeah. I think it was, like, 3, if I remember correctly.
It was 19 and 20.
Mission
accomplished and garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. You know, where he, you know, and this one he was like, he was hoping, oh, you know, they'll call me in. I'll be willing to do all 13 and point out every little nod here and there. You know, and he was looking forward to it. Everyone was, and then hopefully, you know, him explaining maybe in a separate interview what would have been, you know, like that would have been the ultimate, you know, boiling down of everything. But in the end, I guess, you know, it's so sad. It's like, hey, we made all this money, but now that it's over, we don't care anymore. You know, it's like, we're going to make money off of Season 1 box set. We're going to make money off of Season 2 box set. Why not round it around? You know what I think will probably happen, Mike? Seriously, I think that we're not going to get a Season 3. We're just one day, we're going to get a complete box set, which is going to piss off everyone, too, in the process, because it's going to be like, well, why did I buy these first two, you know?
But honestly,
I think that's what's going to happen.
Honestly, I prefer complete series over individual season sets. But
well, of course. But if you already bought the first two, it's always a bite.
Right, exactly. But, you know, if it's one of those things where, you know, okay, if individual seasons are, like, perfect example I can give you is all of the Law & Order DVDs. Obviously, Law & Order will, until any of those shows end, will never have a complete series because those shows are always ongoing.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like my girlfriend right now. She's like, oh, I want to buy the House DVDs. And I'm like, just wait.
Just wait till they cancel the show.
When the show finishes, then you'll get your Uber box set. And then you can all like not have to worry about buying the individuals.
Yeah, but like with Law & Order, they will never have...
Oh, yeah, it'll never... Well, that's
So I don't mind buying...
If there is a box set, it'll be a million DVDs anyway.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, for those shows, I don't mind buying the individual season sets. But, I mean, come on. It was 13 episodes... It was a great, great show. You know, I've said before, when I first heard of Animated, I thought it was going to be movie tie-in, movie-verse, same thing I'm thinking about this new cartoon, and I didn't understand it, and I hated on it for a number of times. Number one, because I never actually got to watch season one or season two, because it was on at 10:30 in the morning on Saturday, and by that time, I was either out or I just completely forgot to watch it. When I eventually got to watch it, I bought the DVDs and I, you know, caught all of season three. I love the show now. And, you know, I think the Transformers fandom is better off that we've had it. But I mean, God damn it, Hasbro, give us our fucking season three already.
Well, if there is one glimmer of hope to say for all of this, and I guess if you people own all region DVD players, or if you live in the UK, Soul Fury, who's one of the super mods on TFW's boards, he's a fellow UK member, he said that how it works DVDs for Transformer-related stuff is it's pretty much it's handled by a company called Metrodome. And they have released a lot of weird stuff that Hasbro has not wanted to release here in America. They like already in the UK... They have DVD box sets for all the Japanese Transformer series with subtitles.
Right.
Like they have the Takara collection, and they have, you know, like the special edition movie collection. They have a lot of weird DVD box sets that are official DVD box sets that Hasbro never greenlit for America and probably never will. Like, remember those horrible dubs of the Japanese series that are, they made a box set for that in the UK. Like official Hasbro thumbs up box set. So if we do get one, we either will get it in a complete box set, complete series down the line, or if earlier than that, the UK will probably get something. That's my – otherwise, everyone's best bet right now, as much as I wouldn't want people to suggest this, go on the internet. I bet you someone's making their bootleg season three, you know, copies, like box sets online right now. Someone's making the box art and everything. And
I know.
it's out there, I bet you, and you're all.
I know, but still, I want, you know.
I know. Of course, I want the extras. I want the great quality. And hey, it was the Rodimus season. I mean, come on.
Right. Well,
I gotta have that.
Well, the sad part about it is he's only in Transwarped, which kind of...
Oh, yeah. If anyone watched the interview with Derek Wyatt at TFCon, I was the one who brought it up.
I know. I listened to that. I was like...
I was like, so is Rodimus coming back? And he was like, well, you know...
He's in sick bay.
Yeah, he's in the sick bay. He's okay getting rid of the rust. He'll be, but, you know, because I wanted to make sure that he'd at least make it... Because I knew that he wasn't going to come back because it was Judd Nelson. So, like, what are the chances of bringing back, you know, a big name like that twice, you know? It's clearly a guest star kind of thing. And I knew that if he would come back, would he make a cameo? And at least he confirmed that for me. And this was before the last episode came out. You know, he's like, oh, he'll be in the crowd somewhere. And he was. He was in the crowd of the last scene of the last episode of Endgame.
Mm.
You know?
I don't know. See, one of the things about the... If they ever do that complete series set, I hope they add more features. Because,
oh, yeah, of course.
Honestly, you know, the photo gallery in season one was awesome. But, you know, two commentaries out of two seasons, that's it?
Yeah, I know. That was something, you know, let's put it this way, right? We got – it was kind of like how Transformers with the movie was. We had the first DVD release of the movie that was done by Rhino – and it was garbage. It had no extras. Then we got the second special edition DVD release that had an interview with Vince DiCola and, like, some storyboards. And then we got that special DVD release of the movie.
20th anniversary.
Like, yeah, which had like all those extra stuff. And then it's the same thing. Look at the Rhino releases of the individual episodes. And then when they made that Matrix box set, all those extras we got. You know, so I get a feeling if they do revisit it and they make the effort, like this big effort to do a nice box set, I'm pretty sure they'll go out of their way to like give us. And I'm Derek Wyatt. You know, the beautiful thing about him is he's not only the guy who created a lot of this, he's a fan.
Yeah.
And I know him, if, you know, and I don't want to speak on Derek's behalf, but, you know, if he has to do it and, you know, sacrifice some of his time to get it done, he would, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where...
He's an awesome guy.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yes, he is. but it's just one of those things where... I think it's, you know, your animated collection is incomplete.
The hole is there. The hole is there.
Yes.
Let me tell you. On the DVD shelf.
Yeah, before I shut my Safari browser down, because we're kind of winding down here in the episode.
Okay.
I noticed that TFW updated the fact that the Season 3, Season 4 individual Shout Factory G1 set is out now. While I do want the Matrix set, I'm glad that the individual seasons are out there.
Oh, yeah.
However, until I am able to get the Matrix set, I'm still glad I have my Rhinos. Because, unfortunately, Shout Factory did not use any of the Rhino special features. I would have liked... To have seen, like, the interview with Flint Dilley, the interview with David Wise on there, don't get me wrong. And yes, I will fully admit the Rhino DVDs suck as far as quality, don't get me wrong. But they're still good to have for the special features that they have on them.
You know what? I own the Rhino ones. I own the
And you use them as backlit for Soundwave reviews, you bastard.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it's good because they also came with those little cells, which were pretty nice. You know, it was a nice little bonus. You know, and, yeah, the extras were good, so that's why, like, there still is a reason for them. And this the Season 3, Season 4 that's coming out, I already own the Matrix DVD box set.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be buying this one for obvious cover reasons.
Yes.
But, you know, I passed...
You know, you could just save the image on your computer.
Well, I could, but that would just be not like me. I hate my money. You know? Like, it's, you know, I passed up on the other box sets. I've seen them all over the place here. But, you know, when this one comes out, I'm definitely going to pick it up for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know what would have been really super cool? I know they won't do this, but talking about that Wingblade Prime, I just thought of something. They should have gave him a Matrix.
That would have been cool. Like a little Matrix chain or something.
Yeah.
Like the Japanese did that with New Year's Optimus Prime. He came with a Matrix chain. It was metal and everything. Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah. You know what I actually might do? You know what I might do if I ever get that Wingblade Prime? I may take my Takara Galvatron Matrix, the gold one that came with...
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, because it was gold with one version, it was green with the other version of Galvatron, and then it was silver when it came in the New Year's Optimus Prime one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I've got the gold.
That's all the same one. And the cool thing about that one is that it actually fits in G1 Optimus Prime's chest.
Does it really?
Yeah, there's a little nub on it. It fits in there.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out eventually. All right, so thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. I'm going to give out the Geekcast Radio Twitter because ATTF doesn't have a set Twitter for it. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Rotoman X.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving a message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. Yes, TFCon, What do you have to say about DFCon?
I just wanted to hype my little convention. well, not little. It's the second biggest Transformer convention in all the world.
Yes.
You know? This July, on the 16th, 17th, and 18th, is TFCon. It's the 9th annual Transformers Collectors Convention. It's going to be in Toronto, which, come on, Americans, it's Toronto. It's right on the border. We have tons of Americans that cross the border to come to our convention. It's a huge list. Fair Lady Z, which is from the TFW board, she came by. Like, a lot of people that were from all different walks of America came. Even Soul Fury, all the way from the UK, came to TFCon. Like, it's a really big and popular convention. Derek Wyatt comes to the convention. You know, like, it's that's how social and amazing it is. It's going to be 3 days. It's going to be amazing. The Sunday, we're going to have a, just for, to mix things up, the dealer room is also going to have 80s toys, because it's going to be Friday, Saturday is going to be Transformers. The Sunday is going to have Transformers and anything from the 80s. So if you're looking to, you know, finish your collection of Inhumanoids or whatever, it's all there.
Maybe it was a Mangalore.
Yeah, well, Mangalore, but, or a Battle Beast, but... You know, we're gonna have two exclusives this year. We're gonna have we have a custom class that's gonna be ran by Dak, who's the former winner of the BotCon 3D custom competition. We're right. gonna have guests. We're gonna have tons of stuff. I'm doing panels that are, you know, ask anyone who went to TFCon and saw my panels. They're the most educational, mind blowing things you'll ever see. Because the only stuff I do panels on are stuff that I don't talk about openly. So it's stuff that no one has ever heard of, or it's very not known in Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna have episodes showing. We're gonna have parties. It's Let me tell you, ask General Techno, who's been on the show. We were up till 6 a.m. with Derek Wyatt talking about animated in a bar, okay? Just to give you an idea of what, you know, what you're dealing with, like, when yes. you come to this show. This is the ultimate fangasm. It's, you know, BotCon, it's fun and all, but it's business, it's toys. This, it's a social experience that's unrivaled. Even Vangelis says it. Everyone agrees. Yes. So TFCon 2010, July 16th, 17th, and 18th. 2010 at the DoubleTree Plaza Hotel in Toronto. For more information, go to tfcon.ca.
For now, I am TFD1 Mike with
the goddamn Proto Man.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. We'll be right back.